Nick, what's up, man?
Hey, nothing much. How's it been?
Good. Hey, thanks for coming on today. Thanks for coming on the chat. I think this is gonna be good. How's your weekend
It'll be
going?
good. It's been awesome. How's yours?
Good. I went to go visit some friends and family, basically in like the Westchester area, and then I just got back a little while ago. I was just
Gotcha.
finishing putting up in the groceries away, laundry. But what about you? Do anything fun this weekend?
Yeah, I visited family actually in Baltimore and drove back a couple of hours ago. It wasn't bad. Drive wasn't bad.
Not bad, really? No traffic?
No, actually, I made it pretty good time. Yeah, actually, like 3 hours, 3 to 4 hours. Not bad.
And you're in, you said Garden City, is that right?
Yeah, Garden City.
3, 4 hours from Baltimore to Garden City. That's pretty good.
That's pretty good. Yeah, pretty good traffic today. I'm pretty happy about it.
Yeah, sweet. Yeah, man. So, hey, I'm pretty excited. We're going to be working together a lot, obviously at Old County, but a little bit in the same office, I think, right? Dr. Chavin was telling me.
I think so. I think we might overlap a little bit. Yeah. Have you already started?
Start tomorrow. That's my first day.
Yeah.
What about you?
Yeah.
You too?
Same here. Yeah.
Where are you going to be? Where are you going to be going in tomorrow?
Tomorrow I'll be starting at the new Hyatt office, the Lake Success office.
Lake Success. Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah. If there are any issues with the address, like people going to that office, just let me know because
Yeah.
my fiance and I, we're kind of in charge of like the Google Maps, and Google has been giving us a year of like resistance, and we
Yeah.
finally got access. It's like a week and a half ago. And so yeah, any issues, because we've been having issues for a while with patients going to, they put in the right address and Google's PIN was at the wrong address. So any issues come up, just yeah, fire over text, let me know.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. Wait, so which office are you starting tomorrow?
Well, I'll be at Melville. So,
Melville. Sweet. Awesome. I
and do
think
you know
Brandon
what?
might be there. Yeah.
Do you know what days you'll be over in Melville? Because that's what.
So I wasn't sure because Dr. Chavkin is, I think I was supposed to be in the Babylon office, the one is going to open. But given that there's delays and things like that with that office, I think I'm being placed in a couple of offices as, offices being built. So I think they were trying to put me in the Flushing office and they were trying to see if I could go to Melville or something like that. But I'm not 100% sure. So my Wednesday is kind of open right now for that change. But
Wednesday. Oh, okay. Okay.
yeah. What should we talk about?
Yeah, cool. No, just so what, like, let's go through your whole trajectory here through what did you go to dental school, by the way? I know you went to BU for OMFS, but what about dental?
So I went to Penn for dental school. Yeah, I did Penn, Philadelphia, great city. I don't know if you've been,
Long
but
time
I
ago.
long time ago, yeah, great city. Then went to Boston, obviously, for the 6-year program, doing the MD track for the medical degree as well.
Yeah, which one did you like better, Boston or Philly?
I think both cities have their own unique characteristics.
Yeah.
I think, from my understanding, like I think Boston is a little bit smaller city than Philadelphia, if I'm correct. I might be totally wrong, but given that we're, during oral surgery, I'm not able to go outside as much, because of the training and things like that. Definitely, Philly had, we had some fun times at Philly, yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's a good question. I'm not sure which is bigger between Boston or Philly. I feel like Boston has its areas where it's still kind of kept very ancient and like historic, like very
Yeah,
historical
for
areas.
sure. For
I
sure.
don't know
Yeah.
Philly though. I haven't been there in probably at least 20 years, so
Yeah.
I don't remember.
Yeah. Are you in the, your family's from the Westchester area?
No, that's like my fiance's side. Her
I see. Gotcha.
sister, yeah, her sister and brother-in-law live in Fleetwood. It's
Oh, gotcha.
not bad. It's like 1 hour and 10 minutes. Not bad at all. So it's cool that we get to see them for like weekends and such. It's always good. You said you have family in Baltimore. Is that where you kind
Yeah.
of resided before dental school?
Well, so I actually grew up in Canada most of my life. I actually came here for dental school and the training, but my brother is a radiation oncologist and he does his training there. So and things like that. So my family basically relocated with my brother. Yeah.
Relocated with your brother, not you? What happened?
Huh?
They relocated.
I don't know. I wanted to, you know, be near a big city, right? Like New York City is right next door. You know, tons of things to do. Obviously, you know, my friends also had some influences as well.
Yeah.
I was very close with people who I did residency with, and they, you know, kind of, you know, it's kind of, you know, it's like weird, right? Residency, you in the moment of it, you just hate everything. You're just like, why am I doing all of this? It's such hard work. Like, this is like, I love doing surgeries, but it's like after hours and hours of like, you know, just a lot of, you know, tons of work. You're just like, I don't know if I could do it again. But does the friendships and camaraderies that you build during residency like kind of carry with you for the rest of your life? So that's when we got really close, and that's kind of influenced me in relocating to Long Island, actually.
That's right. That's right. And so you were, it was four in your graduating class. It was you, it was Brar, it was Hannah. Is that correct? And then
And
a
then there
fourth?
was a Rola Raba who we had in our class.
Is it always four in each graduating class, or was that like a temporary?
So it's strange, right? Because, you know, the 6-year guys kind of joined the 4-year guys a little later. I don't know if it is for every program, but for our program, the 4-year guys would start intern year in July, and the medical school guys would come back in September. Right. So there was sort of like this shortage period where there will be not enough people during those 2 months. So I believe that I might be totally wrong, but I think there have been increase in the number of residents in our program, especially in the 4 years, so they could have more coverage during the time of
Yeah.
2 months and things like that. But definitely a fun experience. You know, but wait, where did you do your training again, Brandon?
I was at NYU in Bellevue.
I totally forgot. Yeah.
But the coverage, you know, the coverage mismatches. I know exactly what you're talking about. People are going off
Right.
service, people are going on service. There's only one
Right.
4-year resident at NYU. So there's
Crazy,
always
man.
mismatches that can
Right.
be. Yeah, I hear you on that.
Yeah, man. It's just, you know, there's always like this. I think they try to work it out, but it's like not perfect. And you just kind of make it work, and just kind of the machine still works. The machine will still function, and things will get done. And at the end of the day, you know, it won't be, you know, too bad. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Right, not too bad, but really
Yeah.
bad.
Right. Exactly. Like, because we, you know, there's some war stories that we could share, but obviously, yeah, they're, you know, obviously it's extremely busy. Like all the oral surgery programs are extremely busy, as we understand, you know, despite the fact that, you know, you as a chief resident, you're like, okay, there should be enough coverage for every service now. Everything should be all set. Something goes wrong, and
There's
then
always
it's like,
something.
yeah, there's always something. And then somehow it's like, okay, I'm in charge of this, you know, this service, but now it's like in chaos. And then you try to make it work. Everybody's sort of, you know, you meet people in midway. Not everybody's completely happy. Not everybody's like completely, you know, sad about their rotation or like the coverage, but like you kind of meet halfway and everything works out, you know?
Right, exactly. And one thing I
Yeah.
wanted to point out, you said, you know, the machine still functions. And the reason the machine still functions is because you have people that have to pick up the slack where there's
Right.
miscoverage, right? You have all upper level residents taking more call for the lower level residents when they're less on service. Or
Yeah, 100%.
there's
Yeah.
right. Or sometimes, you know, there's lower level residents picking up some upper level resident duties and responsibilities if there's less coverage upper. And so it's always a mix, but it's like you said from the beginning, you know, it's that camaraderie, it's that team, it's that
Right.
ultimately that connection and bond, and just pushing through until the stuff gets done. That's what keeps the
Right.
machine going. So.
Right. I think, you know, that's what, you know, makes oral surgery sort of different from other dental specialties, I think, right? Because it is a busier service. It is a lot of hard work and things like that. Not that I'm saying that not other specialties are hard work and things like that, but compared to other specialties in dentistry, it seems more like a team effort rather than like individual projects that you're doing, you know? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And one of those responsibilities, or at least the chief residents, like you're saying, with the mismatches and stuff, is the call schedule. And I think
Right,
that's
right.
the team aspect really. I always wanted to do it where, like, let's go meet at the bar and let's all come out with
A hundred
the
percent,
schedule
yeah.
together. And that's the whole point. Like, I think if there
Right.
are other chief residents listening to this, it's like, take that with you. It's like you should be making the call schedule as a team. It's not just one person making the rules
Yeah,
or ordering other people around. So, you know what I
right.
mean? I think that kind of makes it. brings it back to that connection, that bond of the team atmosphere that's right. needed when things get tough. Because sitting around at the bar making a call schedule, yeah, there's going to be like, oh no, I need that weekend. You know, there's going to be some, you know, maybe some butting heads there. But when it comes down to covering the OR, you know, running around the hospital, did we get the clearance yet? Did we get the console? You know, can you message back that service? That's where.
Yeah, everything has to come together, right? Everybody has to be doing their duty, and everybody's like counting on each other to make this work. And, you know, obviously patients come first, everything, you know, patient safety comes first. And in order for that to be achieved, everybody has to be doing their work. Like even small things like writing labs and, you know, the interns have to be writing labs, accurate medications, you know, everything is so important. Everything in that little sheet of paper that you get, right? Yeah. That every information has to be on there, like for rounding, like what happened, ins and outs, get all these reports, right? I mean, and I think that's what really, really, almost like it came almost as a, I don't know if it was for you, but it was like almost like a shock when I went through residency from dental school, because it was like something like a total team effort to keep this patient safe, keep everything for the patient, you know, to do the best for the patient. You know, not that in dental school we do big things for the patient, but it's just like more of everybody having individual roles and that coming together, right?
Yeah. It's like every branch of the tree, every branch counts. And
yeah, right.
And you know, to keep the machine going. Tell me about your experience in residency more, because you guys did a lot of flaps, right? You just mentioned ins and outs. Tell me more about that.
Right. So I mean, we did, you know, our program is very head and neck heavy. We did both the reconstruction and the ablation. So we would have, So we would have, you know, some more days that we would do the ablation and then the ENT would do the reconstruction. And we would just sometimes have ORs in which we would do both the ablative part and the reconstructive part. Those are long days. Like some days were so long, you know, I was in an OR like for, I think, 72 hours straight because the flap wouldn't live. You know, that's such a devastating thing. Yeah. Just because since, you know, you see the surgeons doing, you know, so much effort, you know, and doing all these things for the patient, and patients won't really see like that effort, you know, they just really care about the results, right? But, you know, there is so much things that are going on in the OR, like so stressful. Like if the flap dies, like, you have to, you know, try to revive it. You do everything for that patient and, you know, try to do like, you know, inject TPA, get even leeches on, you know, and things like that.
Venous congestion, of course.
Right. And then it's, you know, honestly, it's so, it crushes you really because, you know, you're in the OR for such a long time. And if the flap doesn't live, then you're just like, wow, what? It feels like you're there for eternity just to have a end result that's not the best for the patient.
100%. That's interesting what you said. You said you're a flap heavy program. We had flaps at our program. At least my chief year, we're mostly just doing the, excisional part. We're just mostly just
taking the ablation. Yeah.
Yeah. Not, we weren't doing the ablations. We weren't doing as much reconstruction. The one surgeon who would do the reconstruction really kind of, it was kind of like, his responsibilities got spread out a little bit more. So it was usually like ENT or plastics doing it. He was one of the couple, but you know, and just for listeners, I think it's really important to explain the amount of responsibilities and supervision and oversight you need to have over these flaps. Because like you said, you ended up in an OR for 72 hours.
Right.
That doesn't happen too often. I'm sure you would agree.
No, it
doesn't mean that there isn't 72 hours of strict supervision and focus on that flap, right? Like what do we do? Q 20 minutes the first couple hours out, right? Checking the flaps.
Right.
The ins and outs are important.
You
want to make sure that the labs are updated sometimes to the hour. Maybe not like literally hourly, but maybe you have Q4 labs, Q6 labs on certain things, blood gas components when you're monitoring these flaps. Because once they die, that's your whole flap. Everything you did in that surgery, out the window, gone. And now you're in a deficit because you just took a body part from somewhere else, whether it's the fibula, whether it's the scapula, whether it's a pectoralis muscle, that's gone. The donor site is now potentially like, you know, it's cosmetic changes. And then, and now the whole point of the reconstruction, maybe you were doing a denture on it and then the next year's maybe you need to debulk the flap a little bit, you know, all that gets affected down the road. So
Yeah, 100%. 100%.
And the call responsibilities. You're going to be in the hospital all night. You know, if you have home call, you're going to be in that hospital all night monitoring that flap. So, and this is just one more thing to summarize for listeners. You have like the benign tumor programs, and then you have malignant. Malignant, you're doing every type of, whether it be cancer, whether it be tumors, whether it be, you know, some type of pathology, you're doing everything. And that's where it comes down to the responsibilities, the work. Just to kind of explain, because I know people that when they apply to programs, they're like, oh, do I want to do malignant? Do I want to do just fine? And it's like,
it's true.
It's something to consider.
Right, right. It's something to consider as well. But, you know, I think wherever you are in terms of programs, you just do your best. And, you know, I think even if you don't want to do malignancies or head and neck and things like that, there's always, you know, things to be learned, you know. Not that, you know, I'm not doing head and neck right now. We're in private practice, but, you know, if you could, you know, help out, be a good team member and like learn how to suture and things, you'll suture and things like that inside the mouth. And, you know, I think it would still be beneficial. I know some residents, when they go to a program, you know, if they're applying for a program and you get into a program that you didn't necessarily want to go, they're really disappointed because, you know, I didn't match my first spot and I'm end up doing, you know, a lot more head and neck than I wanted. But, you know, I mean, you just do your best. And, you know, even if you don't like it, you don't like head and neck or any other stuff that you're doing, you just, you know, keep going. You just learn things though. It will be beneficial regardless. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, it's even just the hand skills coming down to understanding 100%. The anatomy of the head and neck region. But, you know, another thing that I was just thinking about, well, did you ever consider going into head and neck? Was that ever on your radar?
Right. So at one point in my life, I mean, that's why I applied to the 6-year programs because I wanted to be in academics. But head and neck, you know, as we already previously is pretty rigorous and it's pretty devastating. And a lot of surgical procedures it has to be very precise and things. And long hours, and which I didn't really want to sacrifice in terms of, you know, for personal reasons and for my family and things. Yeah.
Of course. And it goes even further than that. You know, the hours are one thing. The length and training is another. What about paying the bills back? What if some residents and students, they have, you know, an exuberant amount of loans.
Yeah.
Paying it back during on the head and neck route. Very challenging. Okay? Right. That's something that is overlooked, right? Like the pay for head and neck cancer surgeries, it might be good individually, but you're not doing 10 of those a day. It's not like you could just speed them up. No, it doesn't work that way. You need to do a good job. This is cancer you're dealing with.
Yeah,
you have 100%. To follow things to the T. And then a fourth thing to consider is the amount of lawsuits. One of the surgeons, the neck surgeons that was, he's in like text, he's written chapters in textbooks and stuff. I don't want to name his name.
Right.
I've been trying to get him on the podcast too, but
his
schedule's busy because the cancer's been picking up, but he was saying the amount of lawsuits, because when things don't go the way they want to in terms of the patient's interest, right? Sometimes you do the surgery perfect, cancer's gone, and it still comes back. Sometimes you don't do the surgery perfectly, and it comes back, right? But it's the ones where you do everything in the T perfectly, and it comes back. The patient, maybe the patient, God forbid, expires. Their family, someone wants some kind of
compensation, right?
Compensation, and it's like it. Unfortunately, of course, we all would like some compensation if you lose a family member, but, you know, at least from our standpoint, taking a cancer of the head, neck, the face, it doesn't always work that way. And you don't always get the outcome that you're looking for, even when you follow everything step by step. So just to get like racked up with all these, you're getting hosed with lawsuits. And it's like, you know, there's only so much you can do except follow the teeth. So I don't know. It's actually kind of sad listening to one of the surgeons explain that in the OR. I don't know if you have instances or examples or experiences, some insight from your end.
So I think, you know, in terms of, you know, patients' lawsuits and things like that, us surgeons, you know, we don't really care about, let's put it this way. We really care about the patient's outcome, like for the best of the patient, right? So if something is a consequence that, you know, follows that outcome, the best for the patient, we don't really try not to think about it, I don't think, as much. Like deaths and things like that. We try to look on the positive aspects. But, you know, if it is, you know, a death or a complication, ourselves like get really devastated as well. And I think the patient's family should also know that as well. Like, it's not like we're happy that this happened. It's like, it tears us apart. It's like death, like on a patient, like, you know, if a patient expires because they had a neck surgeries, or like if something goes on wrong with even as simple as an extraction, you know, it really tears us apart as surgeons. Like, it's not like, oh, we are all in it for the money, or we're all in it. You know, I think that, you know, I think maybe perhaps like the broadcast or like news and outlets, and I think they kind of sometimes put us as like villains and things like that.
All the time.
Right. All the time. Right. And I think, you know, if patients are listening to this podcast, I think it's important that, like, you know, we try to do the best for our patients. And that's why we went through this rigorous training. I think, you know, they should know that, you know, even despite the fact that the newscast or the media makes us out to be like kind of villains who are, you know, chasing money and things like that, I think more importantly, I think, you know, they should know that we have them in their best interest, right? And try to do the best for them, you know?
Always. We take an oath.
Right, right, right. And I don't think it's enough for, you know, the money, fine. But then it's not enough for us to go through all of the training that we did just for money. You know what I mean? That's right. It's ridiculous. Yeah.
Right. And everyone wants the best for their patients, you know?
Right. 100%.
If they're not, it's like, if your patient doesn't do well, there's a complication. Something goes wrong. That's a loss. You know, there's wins and losses. That's a loss. We all want wins, especially in surgery. It's like we try and learn to have the control through our training, to have the control so that we can anticipate complications before they happen.
Right.
Especially with like the flaps, right?
Right.
And yeah, it's interesting. I mean, how many stories do you see about doctors, dentists, physicians in the media? And it's like, how many of them are good stories? You know,
it's horrible surgeries. Yeah. Yeah.
I think it's a bit heavy handed on the negative stories.
Right. Right. It's usually, we ourselves, like as surgeons, understand that there is no 100% success rate. I think the more surgeries that we do, we will get more complications, but we will try to manage the complications. You know, we have to understand that, and the patients should understand that we're not gods, right? We're not like perfect. So they should, you know, try to like not say give us a leniency on it, but just like, you know, be mindful that, you know, not every surgeon has to be sued or to be threatened to be sued. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I learned on a chat with a malpractice attorney, an oral surgeon and malpractice attorney, actually, believe it or not. And he was saying that there's certain states that have they have higher rates of these lawsuits. And New York sounds like it's in one of the top five. So it's something to consider when, you know, especially surgeons with the highest rates of malpractice, that's something to consider as well, which I was interested to find out. I thought it was just like, you know, rates on the country general, but they actually looked at it down to the state level, especially parts of states. So you have like city or Manhattan, and then you have the rest of like upstate New York, Long Island. I was interested to learn about that. I was quite curious to find that out.
Really? You know? What did the surgeon, what did he say exactly? I haven't heard that podcast yet. So.
Yeah. He unfortunately had to stay somewhat generalized, but yeah, he was saying that, you know, in certain states. And oh, another thing is, say a claim is made and it goes to court. Mm-hmm. In certain states, the courts and the judges and the witnesses in the booth, they have a certain kind of predilection, like a certain feeling towards certain things.
Gotcha.
As well. So that all, yeah. So it's like, one, there's more frequency of say lawsuits, but then there's also a certain attitude in the room. It sounds like in some cases, it's not like just, but like generally it could be swayed one way or the other, which I was interested in hearing this. I was like, what? Really?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. Or like you were asking about a specific one. Was specifically a general dentist who I don't want to say a minor complication, but say, I forget what the exact one was. Say they took out, it wasn't even taking out the wrong tooth. I forget what it had to do with. A patient had a little bit of a complication, went to the ICU, and they found something else, right? Just generally. And
okay. And
so they sued the general dentist that did this IV sedation, right? If I remember correctly, but these are all besides the point. These little details besides the point. The point was that the lawsuit was filed. They went to court, and the court actually came out and said that everything was cleared up, like they settled it with the patient and all. But the court said that the patient, the provider's license has to be suspended for 6 months. And that's a very big, and this is what the attorney that was telling, attorney surgeon was telling me, is that, you know, the result of these claims, these courts, the lawsuits differ based on state. So this was in some state where it's actually a lot more strict, because imagine 6 months, you're not allowed to work in your state. And so you're in part of the state, you can't just drive 5 hours to another state and work there for those 6 months. That could put, until you own the practice, that could put your practice out of business. 6 months is a long time.
Right. That is a long time.
What about just supporting your family and everything else? Like, the complication wasn't too significant. Like, the patient lived and fine. It wasn't like a life threatening thing, or it wasn't like, it didn't affect the rest of the patient's life. And now the dentist has to take off 6 months from work. So I was just very curious to find this stuff out, you know.
Right,
hopefully
right.
We don't have to deal with any of these things. Hopefully everything goes perfect, you know.
Yeah, that's true. We
Anyway, so what do you do? How do you like Garden City so far? When did you move here? It was just a couple months ago, right?
Yeah, it was like a month ago. Yeah. Yeah. It's been nice. Yeah, I haven't really been really able to explore the area because I was setting up my bedroom and things like that, just moving. But pretty nice. Where do you live?
I'm out in Smithtown. Actually, it turns out Brar
is
really close to me.
Yeah,
we just happened to find that out coincidentally.
Yeah. You guys are real close. And you guys are covering the same office.
We will be, yeah.
Yeah. That's crazy. All right. That's awesome.
That's funny.
Man.
Yeah. I've been in Smithtown my whole life. We moved out here when I was like 3 years old. So I'm back in like my childhood house. But the plan is for me to buy this, and then my dad will move out over time. And
gotcha. Gotcha.
So it's full circle came
right.
By.
Did you get to look at your schedule for tomorrow or anything like that? Did anybody help you set it up or?
Yeah, I looked at it last week. I had to go into the office for the prescription things, DSA.
I just did that a couple of days ago. Yeah. Gotcha.
Yeah, that did you have it where like you finished everything up and then left, and then they sent another email like an hour or two later where they're like, oh, now you can finally move on to the Duo Mobile activation? And I'm like, wait, I just left the office.
They didn't do that to me yet, but I mean, no, they haven't. But
okay, hopefully.
Yeah, did you have to go back in?
I did. So I went back in the next day, and I'm like, nah. This is last week, Wednesday and Thursday.
That's funny.
But it all got worked out, you know.
It will work out. Everything will work out. Seem busy tomorrow, or?
It looked a little bit lighter. The procedure column's filled, but they're going to start me at 45 minutes of procedure, which I don't think.
Yeah.
I don't need that long for like a couple baby teeth and stuff. But I think just learning the So you worked somewhere before, right? For a year.
Yeah.
Do you know what like software system that they used?
They used DSM, but they kind of use a different sort of DSM. It looks different. I mean, everything got synced over a little bit for in terms of dose spot, but like something, I'm not used to the whole system, right? So tomorrow's probably going to like be a struggle where I'm going to be asking people like, where do I send medications, or where, how do I write the notes and like what tabs to use and things like that. So, yeah. Tomorrow's going to be kind of sort of like a typical first day, right? Like you go to somewhere on the first day, you try to figure out how the ropes and like it's not even about the surgery at that point, right? You know how to do the surgeries, you know how to do all this stuff.
Right.
But it's like, you know, like an intern almost, like you go in, you're like, I don't know this Epic, like somebody's showing me how to order scripts and you have to do multiple mistakes just to figure out what is going on, you know?
Right. It's probably going to take a week or two at least. And I've never even used DSM before. So the learning curve is it's not going to be the surgery side. It's going to be the admin side, the computer side. I just hope that it doesn't kind of affect the surgery where a patient comes in and you're asking about, oh, how do I send this prescription there? And then they think like, how new is this person?
I might just be like, hey, pretty experienced surgeon, but I don't know how to use the computer. So try to calm them down that way. Yeah. For sure.
That's the same thing that I'm looking at. Yeah. Is your schedule looking full? Did you get to take a look at that?
Yeah. I mean, they booked some, I think some procedures and some consults I saw, but they didn't really book any GAs. I think, did your GA, everything come through for you or?
No GA yet.
No GA. Yeah.
I'm probably looking at a couple more weeks at least.
Yeah.
Before that comes in. Did you got it? Everything came in for you?
Yeah. I mean, I applied a little early because, you know, I was in the process of moving jobs already. So it came through, but it's just like, they haven't put any GAs because I think they thought that I didn't have a GA license. So I won't be doing GAs tomorrow at least.
Did you let them know? Will you be able to let them
know? Yeah. They'll book people.
Good. Okay. So you'll have like maybe a day or two or a week tops.
Yeah. It shouldn't be that bad. Yeah, I mean, and I guess we should be preparing for the schedule for the boards and stuff, I guess.
Hey, yeah. I'm out this Friday and Monday, but then I have a while before I take anything else off. We got to talk about that. It's going to be you, me, Jason Chen, and Brar, I think, right? So us
Yeah,
four.
for sure.
Okay.
And you're going to a couple of courses, I understand.
Yes.
And I saw, I think Dr. Genzer was on your podcast.
I got him on. I got Aaron Figueroa, he was on, and then I got Matt on as well. He did, but he's in the Carolina course.
Carolina, yeah, gotcha.
Yeah. And then Ginger and Figueroa, they're the St. Louis. Are you going to do any of the courses or?
So I think I'm going to do, I think, the Carolina course. I think that's just small group discussion one, right? And I think I'm gonna do maybe the AC OMS course, I think. I'm not sure when that's on, but
Gotcha. And then Carolina, that's October 25th to 26th. That's the one you're.
That was the one. I think I'm doing a lot of the weekend courses because I don't wanna be taking a lot of days off. Yeah. I think St. Louis isn't too bad because you only have to take off one day, right? Or Friday or something like that.
It might be Thursday, Friday.
Thursday? Okay,
So another
gotcha.
2 days. Yeah, this weekend was something. I'm going to the Bad Bunny concert in Puerto Rico.
Yeah, nice. All right.
But
All right.
I agree with you. I'm trying to not take, I mean, especially we're starting a little bit later. We want to get going. We want to work a little
Yeah.
bit. I'm trying not to take too many days off. Are you going to the Amos meeting?
No, I'm not, unfortunately. No.
Me too. I had to call.
Yeah.
I wanted to go, but it also have a we have a company dinner. We have a business dinner that night, right?
Yeah, I
So
think so. Like September, I think it was 18th or something,
yeah,
15th.
it's
I'm not
17th or
sure.
18th. It's one of those 2 days.
So we gotta, yeah, we have a busy schedule. Yeah, we gotta figure out some stuff, right?
You know, and now that we're on that topic, what day do you think would be best for you as far as if we do like all of us, we sit down for oral boards prep? You're thinking of doing like one day a week, right? What do you think?
I think so. We will be preparing all the cases, right? I think maybe, honestly, weekends work better for me. Like, I think Saturday or Sunday. I think might be like the Fridays might be everybody might be too exhausted from work. I'm not sure. Like we could try to do Friday night if we want.
I could try for Friday. I was thinking, I know Jason Chen was thinking like maybe Friday afternoon. I could do like a Friday afternoon after work. But yeah, let's feel it out because
I
Friday
think
would be tough.
yeah.
That would be
So
really tough to do.
yeah.
Maybe I could potentially do Sunday evenings, but I would like to try and kind of like squeeze all that in on the weekdays because then
Yeah.
weekends we could kind of, do our whatever, like maybe got to go
Like the
to
study.
Baltimore or something
Yeah,
or
for
study.
sure. Yeah, for
So okay.
sure.
Well, and then I'll see Barr tomorrow. I'll talk to him about it because we should really get going on it probably. I'm not going to be able to do this week, but next week I can start preparing something for next week if we want to do that.
And then I guess we will have, wait, so I guess we should all prepare a case. I'm not sure how we're gonna do it, but or we're gonna have, I don't know. I guess we'll try to figure it out. Yeah.
Yeah, we should, or like two people, and then we could kind of do a switch because also we want to be mindful of everyone's, especially Bar. Like he's, doesn't he have a.
He has
He's a
a,
kid on the way, right? He's
yeah,
pregnant.
yeah, he does. Yeah, his wife is pregnant, so I think we should be. Yeah, I think she's due sometime in September, if I remember correctly.
That's what I
So,
was, yeah, like soon.
So he's gonna be super busy, like on top of that.
Yeah. So maybe, yeah, we gotta, I'll have to talk to him about it tomorrow. Let's pick out a day we can all do that, like squeeze it in maybe to the week, you know what I mean? Because weekends will probably, especially if he's got a kid, his wife's gonna want him to like help out on the weekends versus week. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see how we do it, and then so that some people have like you get like 2 weeks off, 2 weeks on, or something like that. You know what I mean? We'll figure it out.
For sure. I think
So,
it might be good to just practice a lot before the exam. When it comes closer to the exam, we'll just kind of just test each other and things like that. Yeah. More and more.
And then the other thing, hospital privileges. Did you look into that?
So I'm trying to gather all this paperwork for the NUMC hospital, but it's just like it's a lot of paperwork. It's like you got to get examined and things like that. Were you able to email the email that I sent you?
Yeah, but like the examination, they want you to teach one day a week or cover clinic one day a month or week or something. I
Really?
was.
That wasn't my understanding. I don't know. Whoa.
Yeah, I got like, it was LIJ wants you to cover clinic. I think it's one day a week. You have to take call twice, 2 weeks of the year. NUMIC was something. Yeah, you have to get like, you have to get like a doctor's.
Yeah. Examination. And yeah, they want everything, man. They just.
And then wasn't like a $200 fee on top of all that.
It is a lot of, I mean, I haven't even finished filling out the paperwork. It's a lot. So we have to get working on that as well, just because the board wants it. But
yeah, the board wants definitely. It just to schedule the exam. I reached out to the guy, Lin Lee. He wants us to like have proof of board's privileges pending before we actually even like fully book the board exam. I think we're gonna have to pay another 10% late fee, which I'm just gonna have to do it because I only got my license 2 weeks ago. I haven't been able to get privileges in 2 weeks.
Right.
I don't know. So
it's just everything is such a. Like a lot of paperwork, I realized. Like, there's so much paperwork for everything,
and it doesn't stop. It's like, yeah. You know, they expect us to do all these. We start working tomorrow. When are we gonna go see a doctor?
Yeah. I guess we have to be missing work and things. It's just you gotta be like, hey, I'm missing that week. It's like, why? It's like just because I have to get examined. I don't know. It's just random. Like some, I don't want to be taking all these days off, but like there's stuff that comes up, like. Like exactly for the privileges, you like get physical examination from a doctor. So it's like, what am I supposed to do?
Right. I know. That's why I'm like, I just don't even want to apply there anymore because I don't. Right. And then what we're going to, I don't know. Cause there was another one I was looking at, right. We were talking about Numic. I looked at LIJ and I thought there was somewhere else I was looking just, I don't know. We gotta get this in so we could book the boards.
We got to. But it's just like, I hope, like, whatever you find, Brandon, like, it's like least amount of paperwork so you can send it to us. So it's like, we don't have to do this much paperwork and, like,
that's what
take
we
off
do.
So much time. Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah.
I was hoping at least we could get, like, someone to sign the pending privileges form just to book the exam and then use the next, what, 5-6 months to find the perfect hospital situation where not so much paperwork, no examinations from a doctor, just, like, submit it, pay the fee.
Right, exactly. Yeah. It seems like it's added stress, right? It's like it's, you have your life, you have your work, and you have all this paperwork that's like just in the background. You're like, okay, I have to fill out 20 pages of paperwork. It's like, oh, I got to contact my residency coordinator. I got to contact all these people. Like, it's like licensing, Brandon. It's like you do all this paperwork, like in licensing, it's like, and you call the New York office, like, hey, when is my license coming in? And they're like, we don't know. We can't track the whatever. And it's like waiting. Right. It's like, when can I start working, man? Like, I got to make the moolahs. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like the bills are racking up. You know, we got to pay the bills, man.
Yeah, for sure. And then everything is costing us money. It's like licensing is, I don't know, like a couple of grand. And the board is a couple of grand. And it's like everything's a couple of grand. It's like everybody wants money. And, you know, we don't have money.
It's crazy. I didn't realize that the board, this part two of boards is $3,300. Yeah. And then a late fee is going to be another $330, right? Because I'm going to have to pay that late fee. And then the first part boards, someone told me last Friday, he was like, it's $2,300. He's scheduling it this year for the first part. $2,300 for that. So that's $5,500 for the board exam. I don't know.
Right. But that's just the board exam, right? That on top of that, if you're taking courses and things like that, it's like, oh shit. It's like you're
the
racking
courses
up.
Too. And then we got to take a week off basically to go take the boards exam.
Yeah, exactly. It's just a lot of this, you know, constant
unexpected
paperwork,
fees.
Money. Exactly. Everything is just, you know, so unexpected. Just look like, but like we're just getting it in the, like a condensed version.
Right.
You know,
so
yeah.
If you're a resident listening to this, just be ready. It's not over. And once you start working, that board exam and the courses, it's you got a lot. Like, make sure you keep some money in your pocket before you go out.
You got it. You can't be like, I'm going to, you know, use my first paycheck on a Rolex. You can't do that. You got to be frugal. You can't just be like, I don't know. What do residents want to buy when they graduate? I guess they want to buy nice cars and things. So. Yeah, or
like a nice apartment. I remember Jason Chen was saying he wanted to get like look a little more into a nice apartment. What was your thing? What did you look at when you graduated?
Yeah, sort of like, you know, we obviously, you know, nice apartment is, you know, a top thing for me because like, you know, close to work, you know, you could relax, you know, have some amenities and things like that. You go to the gym, so you know, I don't have to drive like 15 minutes to go to the gym and things like that.
Right.
That's one thing. I think, you know, and then you're just like, okay. And then sort of from there, I was like, maybe I'll just kind of save up money, like live like a resident a little bit, you know, for a couple of years, just because you could be making a lot of money, like compared to our resident salary, for sure. It's like, you know, couple of times more than our resident salary, for sure. But you can't be spending tons of money in the beginning. I don't think you can't be doing that. You can't be like buying BMWs, and you can't be buying 6 Rolexes, and, you know, and things like that. Yeah.
That's a good point. I had to cut back. I wanted to get the Cybertruck. I made a down payment on it a year and a half ago, but then I was looking at the, you know, it's been three months since I've worked, since I collected a paycheck. And I was like, you know, I'm not going to be able to make these payments. I want to lease it. I'm not going to be able to make $1,200 towards a, you know, the car that I'm driving for a while, even though it will increase productivity. I'll get Starlink in it and whatnot, but it's going to have to wait. And, you know, that's another thing. I think a lot of us has to be realistic. It's like, you can't get everything you dreamed of right away. We have to.
Right.
And if we got into oral surgery and now we're practicing as oral surgeon, sometimes you just got to, like, you don't need to buy everything all at once.
Exactly. I think, you know, even as, like, you know, we went to dental school, we went through residency, but really nobody hasn't really informed us, like, how to make good financial decisions, right?
Right.
Like, no, we don't have any classes, like, or anything. And so, you know, some close friends of mine, like, start, like, spending a lot of money. And it's just like, you know, yeah, you could, but what about for rainy days? Like, what if you're not making money and you should be, as you said, have some change or like a little bit more in your pocket just to pay for certain emergencies and things, you know?
Yeah. Keep some money saved. And it's tough because in residency, you're just barely scraping by. I don't know about you. Like, the first 2 years, I was negative, and the third year was about even.
Yeah. 100%. Like, Everybody's been like that.
Their loans in residency.
No, you're not.
Right? You know?
Right. You're barely making rent. Boston's an expensive city, and it's like, if you want to, you know, commute for an hour, yeah, it's cheaper. But like, if you want to live in the city, I mean, same for you, right? I mean, and New York is a very expensive city. So you're barely scraping by with your income, like the paycheck. You're living basically paycheck to paycheck. And it's like, you can't, I mean, you know, you're in a big city, so you're kind of influenced to go out and eat and, like, you know, do the fun things. But then at the end of the day, none of us coming out of residency saved any money, I don't think. I mean, maybe some few people here and there, but yeah.
So hard.
Very hard.
Challenge.
Right. And it's hard to save money during residency, right? I mean, you work long hours and things like that. And this, you know, you try to save money, right? I mean, we get paid, I think maybe less than minimum wage or something, or we get paid minimum.
First 2 years, I calculated it was less than $10 an hour. Yeah.
Right. Right. And then at the end of the day, you either sleep and then you try to, you know, eat, and then, you know, you order food, obviously, because you're too tired to, like, cook for yourself. And it's, you know, yeah. And it's weird, right? I mean, your friends are doing very well, right? Your friends doing business and things like that. And they're like, you know, on Instagram, they post all these things like, oh, I, you know, got a new car, I got a new place. And it's like, oh, I'm still making minimum wage and, you know, paycheck to paycheck. And
I think,
Exactly. It's hard. And I understand that people graduating from residency, it's tough for us, especially because suddenly we get this sum of money that was like, oh my God, we're making so much money now. And then it's like, you know, but we gotta, you know, hold ourselves down a little bit and be like, okay, not yet. We can't go all out yet, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. It's super important. I've heard a couple dentists say that. They said the first 2 years out, whether it be dental school or residency, they said continue to live like a dental student or resident, which, oh my God, no one wants to do that.
Nobody wants to. Right. Exactly.
Bite your tongue and do that, you know?
Exactly. But yeah, exactly. Nobody wants to, but I think they do have a point that, you know, you can't just spend all the money that you get and things like that. Obviously, there's other important things in life, like, you know, even for boards, we got to pay extra cash and, you know, we have to take days off and things like that. So I'm not saying that we won't be able to, but I mean, I think, you know, hold off on the Cybertruck a little bit.
Exactly. I'm going to hold off a little bit. And yeah, and it's also, it's that financial literacy of seeing how much money's going in each month, how much money is going out each month. Obviously, you want more coming in than there is going out.
Right.
And then as you notice that, like you said, you know, the savings that we're sitting on, whether it be 6 months, whether it be a year, 2 years after residency dental school, it's, you gotta take a look at that. It's that coming in and going out, that ratio, and how it changes over those first 2 years out. And then I think you can really make the decision safely, like, do I have enough money for that? Do I have, and it's just tough because like the Cybertruck, I'm not trying to be flashy or anything. I really want to turn this into an office on wheels. Remember we went to dinner with Chad.
I literally wanted
to turn it into an office on wheels with Starlink and like, because it's big, it's spacious, you know? And
yeah,
but so it's, I'm not trying to live like Batman.
Like a roster. Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
Trying to work on the way to work, you know?
Right. I mean, I think that's a good idea. Great idea, though. I mean, yeah. Well, what are you exactly trying to do, like, in terms of getting the Cybertruck?
I want to turn it, so the North Shore of Long Island, beautiful and everything, but the service, the cell service,
it
can be really poor at times. So what I want to do is get Starlink in there to get a constant stream of, like, internet, and then I can, I don't know, I got to figure about the driving, because I know there's full self-driving. But I think you still need to be like attentive to the road.
Like present, yeah.
Gotcha. You know, like,
yeah.
So I don't know if we'll have to.
Your hand has to be on the handle or something. I don't know.
I'm not sure. That. I don't know. Like, I had this thought in my head where it's like, I'll do work on the laptop, the phone, responding to messages, emails. Because essentially, I do that all day long. So it was like, if I could do that in the car, it's more time to maybe study in the morning or work out in the afternoon. And because think about it, I mean, we're going to have commutes that are, they're not too bad. Like mine's 30 to 40 minutes.
Not too bad. Yeah.
But it's 30, 40 minutes of work that you could be getting done. And then times that by two, because going there and then coming back.
Right.
So
right.
That's what the goal is. I just got to figure out the.
Like the actual logistics that goes into it, right? Yeah.
Right.
I get it.
It's like 75% there.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's a great idea actually. Yeah. I mean, if you, I think it will work out. But I don't know. I don't know about the Cybertruck yet, Brandon. Like maybe it seems pretty pricey.
It is. It'll be like $1,200 a month to lease. I think it'll be a good idea to lease, especially like Teslas, because the technology is changing every couple of years.
Right. You know, right. So. For sure.
But what do you drive right now?
I drive a Toyota. Yeah.
Nice. I'll be driving an Acura or Toyota, whatever I can.
Yeah.
It looks like the AC is out on my Acura, so I'll be doing a Toyota Highlander. But what kind of Toyota are you driving?
The Camry. Yeah. It's been real good. Yeah. It's been real good. Yeah. I mean, you know, I'm not a big car person, so I'm not like, you know, those guys who are like collecting things like that. And
I
mean, I do appreciate a nice car, like the Cybertruck. Yeah, it looks nice, man. I mean, if you get it.
I mean, the aluminum looking one is
the you want the black one, like the Batmobile one.
I want to get the black one. I want to get all black.
Awesome, dude. Kind of they're awesome. Yeah, and walk out with your black scrubs on.
Actually, I do have black scrubs. I am going to wear.
Yeah. Just walk out with those, man. Flashy. Yeah.
Did you drive the Camry through dental school and residency?
So I didn't really have a car during residency. I just like took public transportation, which was like hell. And then I was like, oh, maybe I should get a car for work and things. So, you know, it's a pretty new car, but I got pretty decent mileage on it. Yeah. Because I just drove it everywhere. Yeah. Awesome car.
If not much like cars, what about do you have like any hobbies on the side? Watches? Like what do you?
Yeah. I mean, I've been just, you know, looking at watches and things, and I'm just like looking at it with my brother. I'm like, holy crap, these are expensive. Like the luxury watches are so expensive. Like, gosh, you just look at it online, you're like, okay, 10 grand. It's like, okay. But then you look at the other ones, it's like, okay, 100 grand. It's like, oh my God, these are so expensive. Like, how do people afford these? Like, you know what I mean? Like,
do you see Dr. Chapkin's watch?
Yeah, I saw that. Wow.
He's got a good collection. What would be, you were looking at with your brother. What are you and your brother thinking of getting? Were you looking at like seriously?
I was looking at it. You know, Jason was like saying, the Cartier, like the Santos. I was like, oh, this is a very nice watch. I think, you know, maybe start with like something like that and then, you know, move my way up like to Dr. Chavkin's level, you know. It's like, man, that guy, I was like, you were commenting on his watch and I was like, how much is his watch? And I was like, looked it up. I was like, holy crap. Yeah.
It's a, and the one he had on that day, was that the red or blue? That was the blue, right?
Yeah, that was the blue one. Yeah.
Did you see the red he just got like a week or two, like two weeks ago, he said?
I haven't.
He basically got, it's a little bit different, but he basically got the same, it's a Royal Oak, it's a chronograph, but in black now with a red strap. So the one he was wearing was silver with the blue strap. Now he's got the black one with the red strap.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, there are people who really collect luxury watches and it's like, wow, this could be like a house.
Yeah.
Some of them like the Richard Mille, like that's like a couple millions, right?
Those I think are ridiculous. I'm not really impressed with those watches.
No, I'm like, at that point, you're just like, why did you buy this watch? It's so expensive. You're like, it's $2 million or whatever million dollars. Why don't you buy a house or something?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, you could have put it towards real estate or some other investment. I don't know, man. I don't know. It's just something very strange, right? I mean, $2 million on a wrist. Like, do you feel safe walking? Like
that too.
Yeah.
But, and then the Richard Mille or Richard Mille, however they want
to
call it. But it's like, it's not, I don't think it's a very aesthetically appealing watch. I would not wear that. It looks like it came out of a cereal box.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. 100%. I was like, I thought that was a hot take though. I mean, I was like, man, it doesn't look like, I don't know. I don't really feel
machine.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, I mean, it is an expensive watch. That's all I could say. I mean, I don't see the appeal. Like, but that might be a hot take. I don't know. Maybe the fans of your podcast are like, what are they even saying? Like, that is.
I've talked to a lot of people. And I mean, it's like, and people wearing, they're like rappers or it's like Dan Bilzerian. I don't know anyone in person that has one, you know?
Like, that would support one? Yeah, I don't know. Like, I appreciate cars and things, but like, not at the level yet right now. Like, Jesus,
we're gonna need some time. We're gonna need a couple of years.
Yeah, for sure. I'm like, oh God, like people collecting cars. Jesus, that's another level of wealth.
It is. So yeah. Hey, thanks for coming on again today. Just
one
more. What's your night look? So it's both of our first day tomorrow. Your evening wind down looking like for you to like wind up into, you know, work this week?
Work mode. Yeah, for sure.
You work out yet today? Like you do grocery? Yeah. Like what's the,
So I work out in the mornings and then, you know, try to do laundry and chores in the afternoon and just like try to mentally sort of prepare for tomorrow. I sort of looked at the schedule already. So, you know, kind of put myself in the position, like, I guess in the office and sort of imagine myself doing procedures and things like that. But other than that, you know, I mean, watch TV and things just to relax. Because I mean, it's like, you know, you do this multiple times. You know, you went through residency, you went through intern year, you know, you get still same butterflies that you get like for the first day. Because you don't know, right. you don't know what you'll get, right? You might walk in and be like, it's a total complete disaster, you know, but you know, you.
Hopefully right. not, but yeah, right. yeah. It's, right. We don't know what we're gonna get. It's the little
right, like
and it's exciting. Yeah. You know?
It is exciting, right? It's a new phase. So, I try to you know, calm myself down a little bit and unwind a little bit. You know, caffeine or anything. Yeah,
right. That's a good point. Yeah, get a nice wind down routine. I don't know if it'll. I always tell myself like that night I'm gonna get to bed earlier.
No. You get too excited. You're just like. You're like a little kid again. You're like imagining all these things. You're just excited. You're a little nervous because, you know, you're in a new place, new people, obviously, and you're doing surgeries. Yeah.
Right. Meeting people for the first time, working with the office staff. Yeah, it's going to be good. Hopefully a lot less stressful, hopefully, than residency,
It'll be good.
First day residency, dental school, you have that. What's the term all the kids are using these days? The imposter syndrome, right?
They always want
imposter syndrome.
Yeah.
That's just insecurities that haven't been addressed yet. Like you're right where you need to be. It's time. You're going to be fine. Everyone's in the same boat. That's always my take on it.
Well, it was nice talking to you, Brandon, and it was nice talking to you on the podcast. We should do this again sometime.
You too, Nick. Yeah, please. Please, we will. So yeah, we'll be getting through work these next 2 weeks, and let's plan for two Fridays. I'll coordinate that. Well, I think we made a group chat, didn't we?
We did. Yeah, we'll do that. Yeah.
Let's get in that group chat. Let's plan out. We'll pick a time, we'll pick a date, and we'll do that from there. But yeah. Thanks for coming on, man. This is a good chat.
All right. Yeah. Thanks, Brandon, for having me. Yeah.
Too. Yeah. If you can just wait, it's like 10 seconds for it to upload after I hit end here. It'll close out, but then it'll show you like when it's fully uploaded.
Yeah.
Awesome. All right, man. Sounds good. We'll touch base.
All right. Have a good night.
You too.